All right, you ready to get into the message this morning? I think we're already right in the middle of it. We're going to go to the book of John. Last week, my title of the message was Destroy This Temple. And I think I might keep that there, but today it's a little different message, but it came right off of that as we was reading last Sunday about Jesus, you know, telling them while he was in the church, in the synagogue, destroy this temple. But see, they were looking at the walls. They were looking at their surroundings. They wasn't looking at Jesus. They didn't see the Messiah there that was right before their eyes, but he had God's plan on the inside, and he was speaking spiritual things. Destroy this temple. Because, see, he's like, when you get a vision, you don't see it with your natural eyes. You see it in your heart. See, I saw Wanda in my heart this morning come up here and playing that piano because I knew she knew how to do that. But faith requires us to call. Call those things. I saw her in my heart, but I didn't see her in the natural. So I said, I got a call now, Wanda. Got to call her out there. Come to the piano. See, God needs our voice in the earth. Call to do those things. Jesus didn't say you're going to do it on your own ability. He says he needs your faith, and he's going to work the miraculous through you. He needs you to preach this gospel. He needs us to preach the gospel, and he confirms it with signs and wonders and miracles following. Amen? Praise God. You got it. Once you believe it, you've got it. And don't let nobody steal it from you. Jesus said, you got it, you got it. True riches. John 8, verses 1 through 11. John 8, verse 1 says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. All the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught. Now, right here in some versions it says caught in the act. It says adultery. Caught in the act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. There it is, in the very act. You know, it takes two to tango, right? Where's the other person caught in the act? Amen. Why are they just picking on this woman here? That was the culture of the day. I guess they looked down on women more so than the man. You know, surely it's not the man. It was that woman. I guess they read the thing about the garden. But no, it takes two. When Eve sinned, what happened? God went back to Adam and said, y'all are both in this together. Amen. You're both accountable. But they said to him, she was caught. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? Carpenter? Miracle worker? And this they said they were testing him, that they might have something on which to accuse him. Now, say we get to read in between the lines now because this story's done happened. It's been told, and it's been told by John. But John knew the real deal. He knew Jesus inside and out. And he knew the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. See, John was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple. They said this, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though they did not hear. My title, enough is enough. That's when Jesus said, that's it. He said, enough is enough. Wrote his. That's what we do today. We draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. I'm going to share a little video before I go any further. I like this video. My hero. Now, I didn't say I like spinach. I said that was my hero. Amen. I don't eat spinach, but I bet it sold a lot of spinach cans. Amen. When you're watching that. But see, It's the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, enough is enough. They wanted to stone this woman. The law says stone her. Jesus said, enough is enough. He popped that old spinach can. He said, that's all I can stand of this religious crowd. I can't stand no more. And he didn't pop the spinach can. He drew a line in the sand. He said, it's time they have a lot of grace. Amen. They've had the law. We saw what it does. And they didn't understand what the law was for because they didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside. But Jesus is standing right before them. He's been preaching this gospel saying there's a new day. No longer do you return evil for evil, but you return good. If somebody says go 1 mile, you go two. But they're not listening. They're not hearing. They're hearing the law. Stone her. And Jesus said, that's it. Enough is enough. You want to stone her? And verse 9 says, and then those who heard it, being convicted. And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the old. Oh, I missed the verse, didn't I? And so when they continued, as Jesus wrote on the ground, when they continued asking him, stone her. Stone her. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. Same thing. They want to throw in the law at Jesus, and he's done no wrong. Well, this lady has committed adultery in the very act. And they're saying, what would you say, Jesus? And when they continue asking, he raised himself up after he had written in the sand and said to them, he who is without sin among you, cast the first stone. Wow, they didn't expect to hear that, did they? They wanted to hear the law because they want, if you're who you said you are, you've got to obey the law. But Jesus always answers a question with the wisdom of God. He who is without sin. See, the law is there to make sin come alive. So there's sin in the conscience of these men, everybody that's in this crowd. All have sinned, the Bible said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Except one. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard what he said, being convicted by their conscience, when he said sin, who is without sin, sin was rattling in their mind. Amen. And that's what the law does. They went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the youngest, to the last. Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, now here's Jesus. Where's your accusers? They're gone. Because Jesus asked, he that who is without sin cast the first stone. Jesus didn't have no sin. He could have cast a stone right there. Amen? Because he was sinless. But what did he say? Neither do I. Amen? Thank God. Even the sinless one. I'm not looking at your sin no more. I'm looking at the eyes of love. And I'm going to forgive that sin. Just like Zacchaeus. Jesus looked up and saw faith. He saw somebody with a repentant heart. Not trying to test him, but wanting to know, have a relationship with Jesus. That's what Jesus saw. See, these Pharisees, these religious people, they didn't want a relationship with Jesus. They wanted to accuse him and catch him. Amen. And you're not going to hear God if you're doing that. Amen. That love's not going to come to you because love has to flow through faith. Amen. Not through pride. Neither do I condemn you. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. So he didn't give her an out on that sin. Sin was a problem, but he said, go sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, not only that forgiveness of that sin set her free. What did she do? The same thing Jesus wanted that rich young ruler to do. Follow me. See, what she did, she got set free. See, what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. He said, neither do I condemn you. Sin no more and go free. That's called grace. Enough is enough. It's time for us to quit. And I'm not saying we're doing it here, but it's, as a church, we got to quit judging people and love people. Quit looking at their sin. Now, when I say quit looking, in other words, don't let that sin be the problem that it's too bad they can't get close to God. Because there's no sin that can keep you from the blood of Jesus. Amen. All sin. He died for the sins of the entire world. But there's those that are looking for Jesus and there are those that are against Jesus. Amen. And we got to listen to the Holy Ghost and speak that word in due season. And love people into the kingdom. Amen. See them forgiven because they're forgiven. And if we love them like Jesus did, we won't have to beg them to come to church. Come on. They'll want to follow you. They'll want to come to church. Because see, religion is not what Jesus is all about. It's about love and building a relationship. And not accusing people, but loving people. Loving people into the kingdom. That's all I got on my notes. But now I get to tell you the rest of the story. I'm not sure how far we'll go, but years ago, before I got born again, 18, 19 years ago, Ruthie's 18, about 20 years ago, coming to the kingdom. My wife, we were both sinners. We went to church on Easter Sunday, Christmas, because Mama asked me to. Amen. But there was a time in our life that we were lost. But there came a time in our life that we were really, really getting bad. Things were getting bad. The marriage was getting bad. Sin was getting darker and darker. See, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I wasn't in light. I was in darkness. I didn't know how to get to the light. I thought you'd go to church, but you know, it just wasn't happening. I heard, you know, well, you come to church, get baptized, join the church, and, you know, just confess your sins, trust in Jesus. But there wasn't a connection. I never had a connection. But I was still hungry. I was still lost. And Sherry was working at Family Dollar, and she had a couple there that were Pentecostal. Amen. Now, this is not getting any denominations, but God has purposes putting people across our path. Amen. Now, did they have it all together, doing everything right as I got older and Lord? No, but they were my Zacchaeus. In other words, they were there. I was on that road, and I was looking for something, and they were there to make sure I heard about Jesus. In other words, they were witnessing to my wife, saying, telling her things that had never happened in our church before. Just believing God and hearing God, and you know, and I was in the world. My wife was getting this witness, and we was having problems. We were having real bad problems. Now, my family didn't know it. We don't tell our family those things, right? Because we're religious, you know. We got things all together till we get home, amen. Because that's where we wear these masks a lot of times. And I'm talking about once you get born again in Christian, we got to take these masks off and let people see struggles that we have in life, but then take them through the struggle, take them through the fire, but let them know how you came through that fire. And so they was witnessing to Sherry, and so she started inviting them over to have dinner. And they start talking about Jesus and different things, and I'm like, I didn't like this. I mean, people wanting to ask me to go to church, now they're at my home. But Sherry's been to her family church, and she's been praying, and she's been asking, she needed some help in our marriage and our life. And they were telling her that we'll do this and, you know, we'll try to do this and do that. And it wasn't working. Things were getting worse. So she's saying, well, you know, I went to church. That ain't it. That ain't helping. And then she's got this couple. And I don't think they really got a local church, but they know about something about the power. they were visiting Faith Covenant because that's what they said. There's a man coming to town. And after I got born again, they told us about Terrence Rose coming. See, they were important pieces of our puzzle to getting me here today. Hey, Ben, because they just heard from God. They said, "Don't give up on this couple." They were scared of me, because I mean, I wasn't a real mean person, but I guess I had this attitude, like, you know, you can know when you're not welcome somewhere. Because when they would leave, I would fuss at my wife and I'd hit the wall. I made a couple holes in the wall and we hung pictures over them. See, that's what them pictures are for sometimes. They cover up the holes in the wall. We got a couple of holes in this wall, but it's not because things have been going bad. We got some good things going on. We're getting some wires in the wall. But I'm not a sheetrock man. I just covered up with the picture. Thank God I didn't hit my wife.
Amen.
But it was getting to that point, you know, because that was just things that I grew up in, just spirits, evil spirits, demonic spirits. But there was another spirit chasing after me. Amen.
Amen.
And it was in my home. this couple would come. And then one day I came to the end of myself. I climbed my sycamore tree. I was looking for Jesus. At home by myself, the Holy Spirit was drawing me, wooing me, and I was just, my sin was besetting me, and I was crying out to God, and I didn't know how, but I was crying out. My wife had already got born again. She asked Jesus to come into her life. God touched her miraculously there in our home, and she just went into the bedroom and started reading the Bible. Now, Lord, working on me. Because she's forgetting about me because she knew I didn't want to do nothing with church, so she said, well, I'll just go into my bedroom with Jesus. And she started praying for me and loving and talking to Jesus about me. And one day, this is before I got saved, one day she came out there while I'm on the computer, and she came up to me and said, would you look up something on prophecy? And I was intrigued with prophecy. Nostradamus and all these things. You know, I liked that things I didn't know about, but I was really scared about it. You know what I mean? And when she said that, I'm like, yeah, I knew how to Google. I knew how to get on here and work up some prophecy. So I got some things and printed out and gave it to her. But see, what that did, that was a little bit of jealousy. She went back to her room. Didn't tell me what she needed it for. So see, God's working on me. I'm getting curious now. What's going on in this bedroom? What's happening back there? Prophecy. And she's praying for me. But see, God told her, the Holy Ghost said, go ask your husband to look up some things on prophecy. See, that was a word from God. She didn't know the power that was in it, but God said, go do that. And from that point, I started seeking and I started getting repentant in my heart. I wanted a different life. I wanted something different. Lord, help me. I was crying out, but kind of a silent cry. But then one day I'm at home all by myself because these people, they've still been coming to my house, eating and then talking about Jesus. And I'm like, yeah. But then one day I'm there all by myself. And this conviction and this, God is just loving on me. Amen? In my home, all by myself. And I got my Bible out. And I was weeping. I'm like, Lord, I need you. I don't know how to. And I went to Romans 10, 9 and 10. I can't really tell you how I got there. I think I went to maybe the table of contents, or maybe I heard it. I had to hear it somewhere. And read the scriptures. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. I just believed those Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I shut the book and said, praise God, I'm free. I just felt free. Didn't have no supernatural. The walls didn't shake. But the next time they were going to church, I said, can I go? My wife thought, you want to go to church? Yeah, I want to go to church. There's a Terrence Rose is coming. Well, we're going to this at, he was at West A, right? West A Church of God, the one that's kind of round, big auditorium, had a big choir behind it. I took my wife's Bible that night. Amelia, she'd already gone, you know, she died and we wasn't saved. And I'm looking at somebody dying and, you know, you get to thinking about life and death. And I loved that woman. And she left her Bible and I had her mom's Bible because that's the Bible I opened up at home that night, that day. It was her Bible. And I knew I was born again, saved. And I knew some things I had done that wasn't good. But I read that the Bible, Jesus forgave me. I don't have to tell nobody, He's forgiven me. So I'm like, okay. And I took that Bible and I went that night. And Terrence Rose, I can't tell you the message he preached, but he was preaching to me. And that was when he looked back and he just looked back at the choir that day and that night. He said, now just breathe. And they breathed and they just all just laid. They just went out in the Spirit of God and the power of God. Just kind of laid out. I'm like, whoa. Wow. And then he kept preaching. Kept teaching. And he was speaking to me. Everything he was saying is like, man, that's about me. And then there came an altar call. And I had that Bible in my hand. And my wife, I said, well, come on, we're going to the altar. I didn't know if I needed to get born again, saved again or what, but I know I needed to be down there. Wanda, you just came up. I know I need, God just needed you to come up and play that piano. Amen? Amen. And I just came up. And Terrence Rose came down. And I can't remember the prayers, but I know he was anointed by God with power. And me and Sherry stood down there that night, side by side with Jesus right in the middle. And he just simply was coming down and he called for the altar, called for those that needed to have their lives changed, be set free, be born again. He just came down and he just said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. He didn't even get to touch me, I don't think. But when he said, in the name of Jesus, that anointing, it was released. Me and Sherry both fell out underneath the glory of God. And I got up off of that floor. I didn't cuss no more. My cusser was gone. And you know, I wouldn't cuss in church. You know, it was just an unclean spirit that I could control. I didn't know I was controlling. I let that spirit flow when I wanted to. But he was gone. Because Sherry said when we went down, there was a yell to come out of me. There were spirits that left me that had, they were illegally there, but I didn't know about it. Amen? And there were some things left in my life that I, oh, you know what? How it got delivered? I had to get in the Word. In other words, it was things I wanted. I had to get rid of. And I mean, that I didn't, you know what I mean? I wanted because I didn't know Jesus had everything I needed. But you got to find it in the Word. And then we got set free that night. And man, we were changed. The power set me free. The anointing set me free. And you know what we did? I started following Terrence Rose. In other words, I wasn't following the man. I was following what I received that night. Because when he touched me by faith, the anointing stirred up something. I was born again. I was already born again, but I was now the power ignited the calling that was on my life. See, it took that. The anointed word. There's a difference between the word being preached and the anointed word being preached. Amen? Because you're only going to receive what you're under. Amen. Well, I'll say God can still work with you, but at that place. And man, I was changed. We were changed. And then after that, God just started doing supernatural things in our life. We were baby Christians with big old diapers on. And God was just doing little things that, man, it was spectacular to us. I read in Mark 11, 23, 24. Whatsoever things you pray, when you believe you receive, and you'll have whatsoever things you desire when you pray. And I took that to one of the elders at our church that I helped building because the church split. And it didn't have a pastor, but I knew how to build churches, so we was helping. So I just wanted to do something for God now. So we're helping building this church, having fellowship, and I'm talking to the deacons, and I was excited. I said, have you read Mark 11, 22, 23? And I read it to him, and he goes, well, that ain't what that means. I'm like, somebody just busted my bubble. I'm like, I just simply believe whatsoever things I desire, when I pray, believe I receive them, I'll have them. So I started believing for some things. I went to Brother Jim's church and had a headache. And he said, if anybody's having a headache and want to give a testimony, I came down and gave a testimony how God healed me from a headache. I was excited about just being, I had authority over headaches. I wanted to tell the whole church I was a baby Christian. But that was big to me. Jim gave me that mic and that was big to me. So I got to testify about what Jesus had did. But see, when I went to that deacon, they're like, that ain't what that means. So we found out real quick, that ain't where we're supposed to be. That's not where we stayed there a while. I helped finish building. It did what I could, but there come a time to where, hey, it's more about building the church with the sticks and the nails. It's about building on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because except the Lord build a house, you labor in vain. Amen. Now, my labor I did there was not in vain. I believe I put my hand to the plow. I was doing God's work there, and God's going to bless me because in His house. Amen. Because I wanted to build a church there. Amen. So from there, we went on a ride. This is where I just want to take you on a little journey today, a little faith journey. Some of you guys might have heard this, and it won't be all the testimony, but we didn't have a lot of money because we were in debt. Had two kids, Kelsey and Dallas, and we liked going to the beach. And you get those little, three days, five nights, whatever it is, you know, you just got to go through that little ordeal, timeshare deal. And I learned there was an anointed word I learned. It's the word no. No. Because I used to not say no because I thought if somebody called me, wanted to sell me something, I think I had to say yes. Because if I don't, you know, this is their job. But the Lord said, you don't have to say yes to everything. You say no. Amen. Because if you ain't got the money, you don't need it. So anyway, it wasn't one of those deals, but I had been witnessing to a guy. They played bluegrass music. The family, they were in Mooresville there. Two of the brothers have already passed on now. And I was trying to play a guitar. I tried to play the guitar. And they encouraged me, but I knew I sounded bad. But I'd just get in amongst them and just strum it. And I thought I sounded good until they quit singing. It sounded bad, but I loved their music. And one day I was waiting on them because it's just behind their house, a little building behind their house. They'd go practice, and I'm waiting for them to get there. And there's a cement truck there. So I'm waiting, and so I get out, and I start talking to this guy. Man, he's got problems. He starts telling me about he's about ready to commit suicide and stuff. So I'm a baby Christian, but I started casting devils out. Amen. Yeah, I started. When he would say depression, I'd cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus. Next problem, I'd cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus. I didn't know what I was doing, but the name of Jesus, I was doing something. Because I believed what I was saying. And we sit there for 30 minutes, and I casting out devils and telling him how much Jesus loved him. And man, it's like his demeanor never changed, but I know I was doing spiritual warfare. I believe I'm going to see that gentleman again. I couldn't tell you what he looked like today, but he was driving a cement truck. So all that happened, and I got to practice a little bit, and then we were getting ready to take off for our vacation. We didn't make reservations. We just going to take off to the beach. We had a little bit of money. And I'm like, well, where are we going? We on a faith journey. We just trust in God on everything. I said, I don't know. We know the direction. Let's just head toward the beach. So we're going. And about, I don't know, 2 hours into the trip, maybe an hour and a half, here's a cement truck. We're getting close to, we're going down to Garden City, that area. Because Michael, Sherry's brother, used to go down to Pirate Land Campground. We love the camp. So we're heading that direction. And then we get close and we're like, well, we need to start believing God specifically on where we're going. Because we just trust Him by faith. We just praising Him down there, worshiping God and thanking Him for a wonderful time. And here's a cement truck that pulls in front of me. I said, I just witnessed this guy, and he was driving a cement truck. I said, we're going to follow this cement truck. And wherever he goes, that's where we're going. Amen. So we didn't get real close, but we tagged him, and he's going and going. Lo and behold, he goes all the way down to Ocean Isle, and he pulls on the ocean front to one of these condos that he's pouring concrete for. And I'm like, well, we can't be here. The foundation is just being put up. But we're beside a couple other condos. I think Sherry said it was the Water's Edge. So we said, that sounded good, Water's Edge, Living Waters. So we went in there and we told them, you know, we got such and such. We got like $90 that we can afford for one night. And they're like, well, everything's sold out. I'm like, wow, well, we got to have something. We go, well, let me call somebody. So they were in contact, so they sent us right next door. And this was the Water's Edge was a big, probably, I don't know, 10-story condo down there on ocean front. And then they sent us over to a little 3-story, rinky-dink, Super 8 kind of motel. And we're like, well, you know, it's ocean front. We got that going for us. So we ain't giving up. I'm believing we followed this cement truck. This is where we're supposed to be. We go in there, sold out. We're like, man, we can't sleep in this car we in. You know, we can't do that. He goes, well, let me make a call. So they call, and they own another tower, another condo. And they said, they've got a camp. We told them how much we got. I said, we got $89 a night, so that's it. You know, that's what we can allow. They said, well, they made a call, and we went over, and they sent us to another place because she didn't tell us for sure whether or not we was going to have this room. And we go over there, and it's called the Royal Garden. I've got to go back down there because I've got to see this place again. And we walk in there, and we tell them what we got, how long we want to stay. And that person had got a call, so they're going on a computer. And, well, it is, we do have a cancellation here. It was on up there, 10th, 12th floor. It was up there, and my contact said, we're going to let you have this for the 89 such and such a night. It was I think it was $200 a night, Kelsey?
No, she said you had $200
altogether. Two nights. So, yeah, and it was $200 a night. Okay, so there we go. So we got the room. Man, Sherry could help me tell this story. Man, we were excited because I let her, she handled all that. I'm just back here. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost while she's standing there doing the deal. And she's the car buyer. She goes out here and she's a negotiator, and I pray in the Holy Ghost. He says, we'll go back to the room. I said, you don't know what you're going to do. You should just settle it right then because I know what's going to happen. I know this woman when they start negotiating. And anyway, we got that room. Man, we're blessed. And we're up there, and it's kind of getting toward late in the evening, so we're hungry. So she's got us budget to go out and eat, too, so I'm not sure where we ate. And we went out and ate. It got dark. We're coming back, and we're like, did you write down the street number? I don't think we had phones back then. We didn't have GPS back then. I knew the vicinity of where this place was, but I'm like, you didn't write down the address number? Sherry goes, well, I can get us back there. So as we start back in the dark, and I'm driving and I'm taking directions from her, I like to know two streets ahead before I'm ready to turn, not two streets behind, right? I don't like doing recalculate. But have y'all noticed the trees lately? This purple vine that's kind of growing up in the trees. It's called wisteria. All the way down to the beach. Now this is just God just blessing us. Just showing as we're following God, He just does supernatural things that just builds a foundation. As we're going down to the beach, we see these beautiful purple flowers riding down there. Man, we're just talking about how beautiful they are. Because it's royal blue. I call it royalty. Just God just blessing the way He just makes things that are dead come alive. And when we are on our way back to that motel, we start looking in the distance. And it's all purple. And darkness out there, but it's like a purple tower. Because we saw this all the way down to the beach. It's called the Royal Garden, is our motel. And we didn't know because we checked in at daytime. But when that thing gets dark, they light it up and it's purple from the bottom all the way to the top. See, God prepared that place for us. We were glorifying Him and praising Him all the way down to the beach, talking about how beautiful His creation was. And there He put us in this motel and lit it up for us at night so we could find the place. See, God will light your night up. Just trust Him, amen. Just step out and do little things of faith and He'll build this. And then that night, Larry, okay, because we want to pray for him. Is he still here? Okay. I know he had some nasal stuff, but we're going to speak to that. Okay. But all that happened, and then I guess at that night or that next morning, as I'm praying, getting up early in the morning and praying, Sherry goes out on the balcony, and I'm staying in the room and I'm praying. I'm in the Book of Wisdom. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my understanding. Just build my relationship with my Father. And Sherry says, Robert, you might want to come out here and look at this. I said, why? Is it really important right now? I'm busy. Yeah, you need to come see this. Now, see, y'all understand, I had took my glasses off because I was believing God for my healer. So I drove all the way to the beach without my glasses on. If you ever looked in my glasses, you'd say, whoa, man, put them out, put them things back on. But all the way to the beach now, I still have not received total healing in my eyes, but I still believe in my God. But I drove blurred vision all the way to the beach, praising and thanking God for my healing. So I still have my glasses off, and I'm in there struggling to read the Word. And it's probably giant print. I'm sure I got giant print. But then Sherry said, you need to come see this. She's out on the balcony, worshiping God. And when I walk out there, somebody had stopped and wrote in the sand. What was I talking about this morning? Jesus said, He wrote in the sand with His finger, enough is enough. Now, I wasn't thinking about this when I gave His testimony right now this morning. But somebody stopped and wrote in the sand down there with their foot, say yes. And they put a two in the middle of to Jesus. Say yes to big enough where without my glasses on, I looked over the balcony and saw it. God wrote it in the sand for me. But He had to use somebody to do it. See, Jesus said, enough is enough. I love you, son. All that you've been through, all that you're going through, that you guys might be going through, know that Jesus said, enough is enough. He wrote His love in the sand because He gave us grace. He said, if I'd say He'd said something, we could speculate. I'd say forgiveness. He wrote forgiveness. Amen, because He has forgiven us. Or He could have wrote, what sin? What sin? What sin? Jesus didn't see the sin. He saw Mary Magdalene free from sin and following Him and being at the tomb early in the morning, one resurrection morning, looking for Him. Where are they taking my Lord? See, that love will cause you to follow and chase down what you believe in God for. And we love God, and we went to the beach, and that is the message to the ministry God's called us to go out, a teaching ministry. Say yes to Jesus. That's how we got the title, because God wrote it in the sand. Amen. And I have to hang on to that. Amen. Because then He said, now take my word to the world. That's a big place. But God said, say it. Amen. So we're just going to, I'm just simply going to choose to believe that and then let him handle all the other stuff. Amen. Bring in the people, bring in the ministry, whatever it takes, he's able to do it. But see, I need you. He needs you. Simply walk up and play a piano if you need to, just to bless some. See, somebody, I got blessed. And Wanda, you got healed. Amen. So you got healed. Because that's the word of the Lord for you this morning. He's already healed you, but you're receiving it. You're receiving the manifestation. Your body's changing. Amen. You got somebody beside you that believes in that is going to help you. Amen. You got it. It's changing. Things are changing. What is it, Jim? Something on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. It's working. Faith is working. Thank you, Jesus. And there's more to that story, but that's all I'm going to share today. Because I need to have Sherry to fill in the blanks to all the things I left out, don't I? But God has done the same thing for each one of us. He's got special things in our lives, but it's going to take us walking by faith and getting up early in the morning by faith and just believing Him and trusting Him and speaking His Word and declaring it in our generation. Amen? So let's not look back. You know, we can look back and we can read all the good things, Brother Hagin and the moves that happened back then, but this is our day. Today is a day of salvation. Today is God's time for work mighty miracles through us. That, Lord, if Jesus tarried 30, 40 years, they'll be talking about us. Talking about Jackson. Something going on, right, Jim? You just have to know the story on that one. A fire was lit. Amen. Jesus lit my fire. That's what that word dunamis means. You shall receive power. It's like a dynamite and it's lit. I want to know things before they happen. I want to see the miracles before they happen, so I'll say exactly what God wants me to say and we'll see it manifest right in our midst. And God wants you to see that too and operate in that. Amen? And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Amen? I know God. And just simply believe it. And that's where it happens.